New York Comic Con 2008 is coming. Head on over to the Jacob Javits Center April 18th to 20th and experience the largest pop culture event to take place on the East Coast. An enormous show floor plays host to top entertainment industry leaders showcasing the latest and greatest in comics, graphic novels, anime, manga, video games, toys, movies, television, and more. One of the most original and inventive writers in the comics medium, Grant Morrison, will be a guest of honor at this year's New York Comic Con, where he will greet and meet his many loyal fans. Grant is writer of such books as We 3, Doom Patrol, Animal Man, Batman, New X-Men, and also Superman, and is working on DC's big event for 2008, Final Crisis. New York Comic Con gives attendees access to top entertainment industry talents, panels, and autograph sessions, as well as sneak peeks at upcoming television shows and motion pictures. Additional featured guests have been announced, including Charlie Adlard, Terry Brooks, Duncan Fegredo, Erwin Hazen, Tony Moore, Steve Niles, Sean Phillips, Eric Powell, Rick Remender, Leonard Starr, Dave Shelton, and Chris Weston. And with dedicated professional hours, New York Comic Con provides an ideal business setting for the major players in the worlds of comics, film, and television. Further information can be found at www.NewYorkComicCon.com. We thank New York Comic Con for sponsoring the show, and we hope to see you this year when you stop on by Podcast Arena.
Comic Timing is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast
Network, bitch.
Welcome to episode 59 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joined in is a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levitsky, to discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. This week, Brent and I are joined by Erica Hesse, artist and creator of The Key, as we discuss what it is like being a woman in comics. We also ask her questions about her career and general likes and dislikes, and we even have some silliness in there, too. And this one is a little less edited than some of the other ones, as I'm on my way to Anime Boston this week, so please pardon our dust. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 59 of Comic Timing. Wow, I actually got the episode number right off the bat without having to wonder what episode it is. Well, that's because we just got done with our MegaCon wrap-up about a week ago, and now back at home, back at his dorm, if I'm right, considering he said he has super-fast internet again, is the co-host, not co-host, who no longer has to look at my face, Brent Cassina.
And boy, am I happy about that.
Yeah, man, it's great, it's great. You've got one less Jew in your life now.
Yeah, so now I have zero.
Oh, snap, man. Now, see, is that just because your area just lacks the Jews, or do you just avoid them at all costs?
I don't know, it might be a little both, I don't know.
Yeah. You talk to one long enough.
Based on you, you know. Problem.
Of course, yeah, great, terrific. Okay, we're off to a good start already. And joining us this episode here is an artist and a creator that you might be familiar with from Comic Geek Speak and all that. She was at CGS 300, and she's got her own book, The Key, which is at issue number one, and hopefully issue number two coming soon. And that, of course, is Erica Hesse. What's going on, Erica?
Hey, how are you?
Doing pretty well. Well, actually, that is one of the first questions I'll be asking later on about, hey, come on, when do we get issue two, man? Come on, you're leaving us hanging. But anyway, I'm sure that'll be coming soon enough to please the fans of the title. I'm sure.
Right? Yeah.
Right, sure. Please. Okay. I'm done fanboying for a little bit here, but before we get going with the episode, for anybody who's not familiar with your previous work, you want to maybe get into just a quick rundown of The Key and maybe some of the other stuff that you've done in the past?
Sure. Well, I recently self-published A Key as of last year. It's basically a story about a girl named Angeline, and she basically gets involved in some supernatural it's hard to explain. Supernatural, I guess, meets like Nightmare on Elm Street kind of feel, kind of story to it. And basically, she just gets, can I curse on here or no?
Yes, you can. You can certainly curse, as has been proven by episode after episode of Comic Timing. You can curse to your heart's delight.
Okay, I was going to say something like, well, wait a minute, I should first ask. No, I was going to say Angeline, the character, she literally gets mind fucked by the people of hell. Basically, the devil's son. Cyphus basically tests her and torments her, and that's all I can really say like right now, because now I'm starting to realize I'm starting to get into the story, but I basically I'm sorry, I'm like needing coffee right now.
Ah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I think that's one of my traits myself, so we'll get along great.
Other works that I'm not very good at explaining to Key, but once I warm up and everything, I'll be able to talk about it a little bit more. But basically, other stuff I've been working on is this is stuff that's going to be coming up soon. I did a back cover pin-up art for The Misadventures of Clark and Jefferson that's mm-hmm. coming out through Ape Entertainment. I did a pin-up for, The Black Coat. I think it's going to be for their new series. I think that might be starting up again. And actually, I guess I'm just starting to get into the comic scene. I basically started out doing, pin-ups and just doing illustration work on my own. So I guess I'm still kind of, new to the field.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that's going to work a little bit into what we're talking about on this episode with the women in the comic book industry. Since you are brand new to the comic book industry, you can sort of give the early take on it as opposed to the storied veteran take.
I'm definitely have a new take on it.
We can move on actually to the straight show topic here, which I posted on the forum. So let me read that off here. Obviously, Erica is joining us right now, so I can just go straight to here. Is it a struggle to be a woman in a predominantly male industry? What are some of your favorite women creators? And if you could give any bit of advice to a woman looking to make it in the business, what would it be? And also with this episode, we got a bunch of fan questions, both from the Comic Geek Speak forums and from the Comic Timing forums that I'll be asking throughout the show. Some that actually pertain to the topic, others that are general Erica Hesse comments, and others by the snarky bastards that actually live on the comic forums that just want to play with us. But you know what? I'm going to read those anyway, because that's the way we roll. But let me start off first. Again, we're keeping general and we're working our way up a little bit. Erica,
okay.
How did you first get into the comic book scene? I mean, did you start off with superhero comics when you were growing up?
Actually, I started probably like a lot of girls growing up. I was introduced to Archie Comics from my my parents when I was growing up.
Right.
So I basically read, Archie, Jughead and Betty and Veronica. And I just, I read a lot of, I think they were Harvey comics. I read a lot of Richie Rich. Mm-hmm. Hot stuff, Wendy the Witch, stuff like that, like a lot of cartoony, I guess, stuff that was geared toward kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I had an older brother, I have only one older brother, that he used to read a lot of the more mainstream titles. I think that's how I started getting more into the superhero comics, because they would be lying around the house all the time. So from there, I eventually got into, X-Men and Supergirl and Superman and just more of the mainstream, more the superhero mainstream type of titles.
Right, right. And about how long did it take you until you were like, I think this is what I want to do someday?
I think I always knew. I mean, I don't know. I think I've been drawing since I was a kid. And I think even when I was a little kid, I was copying, for line, Betty and Veronica and Archie comics. I was always, I think that's how, everybody starts, how they first start out drawing. That's how they learn. They start copying things.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I enjoyed it so much that I just thought that one day, oh, wow, it'd be really cool if I could be, a cartoonist or a comic book illustrator. I guess it's just one of those aspirations that just turned into, just grew, that just kept coming, going with me as I became an adult. So it was just pretty cool because it seems like most people, outgrow it, but I never did. I just, something I always wanted to do.
That's the joy of being a comic book fan. You never quite grow up.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I'll ever grow up. That's for sure. That's good.
if you grow up, then you're never going to have the chance to don boxing gloves again and kick Jim Bob's ass.
That's my brother.
Yeah.
That's my Asian brother, actually.
Asian brother from another mother.
At a different time. At a different year.
Right. Had to bring that up. For anybody who needs any context, go back and listen to the CGS 300 episode of Comic Timing, and you'll understand. But the main question that I'll ask you to get into the topic at hand of women in the comic book industry, about how long did it take you until you found, your first woman creator that you really related to? when you're reading comics? I mean, at first, obviously, when you were reading it first, I'm sure you're just like, oh, hey, look, it's a comic book. This is good. I'm into it. Was there a first woman creator that really caught your eye when you were growing up?
To be honest, I really don't think so. I think it was probably, you know, a male artist. I mean, I really can't think of anybody right off the bat of being like a female artist or creator that really caught my eye when I was a young kid. I mean, especially, I know when I was a young kid, I probably really didn't pay attention to who the artist was anyway. I probably was just like, oh, you know, wow, it's Betty and Veronica, or, you know, it's the Beast, or, you know, it's, you know, Wolverine. I didn't really pay attention to who the artists were. I guess I didn't really start getting really into who the artists were, I think, when I was in high school, because as I started realizing I wanted to be an artist and make it more into a career. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I really can't recall, like, any female artist that really, you know, somebody that I would admire. I would say that I started admiring more female artists, I guess, you know, I guess as the years progressed, as I got older.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of interesting, though, like, if you look at the scope of the comic book industry in general, that there really aren't that many women that you could, you know, write off, say straight off the bat, oh, hey, I remember her, or hey, I remember her. Obviously, now the scope has changed, and that's definitely a good thing. But for years there, it was definitely a male-dominated genre.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably why I can't think of anybody, to tell you the truth, because I really don't even remember back then, you know, a woman illustrator, well, comic book artist standing out. I think it was very heavily male-dominated.
Mm-hmm. Brent, actually, let me field something to you, so, you know, just to make sure that you're actually still here. And damn it, that's probably going to happen a lot this episode because I talk way too much. But do you remember the first I'm pretty much going to ask the same question to you that I asked to Erica. What was the first female creator that caught your eye? The first one that you really noticed when you were reading a comic?
Wonder Woman?
Creator.
<I don't know. laughs>
Yeah, it was great when Wonder Woman drew that comic.
You know what? Probably, I want to say Devin Grayson, because her writing on Nightwing was so crappy.
Okay.
And after that, Gail Simone, but only because I just started reading her Wonder Woman. That's about it.
Okay.
Because I haven't read that much from her. I read, like, the Secret Six miniseries. That was pretty good. But it didn't make me, like, want to... It wasn't so good that it made me want to go out and read Birds of Prey and whatever else she was writing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, or not Secret Six. I read Villains United. I didn't read the Secret Six.
Yeah.
But she wrote that as well, but I heard that was okay. Pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty good. All her things are pretty good. I mean, you know, she's got her goods and her bads. But Devin Grayson also was an interesting thing. I think she broke in on, what was it, like a Titans annual or something like that?
Because I don't know, but I thought she had like a really long run on the Titans book before then. Like she launched the book that was just Titans before we had the Geoff Johns Teen Titans.
Right.
With Mark Buckingham, did she launch that?
I believe so. Yeah, I'm almost certain with Arsenal and Tempest and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember seeing her name in the credits on that a lot. From here, when we go back to Erica, why exactly do you think it was a predominantly male industry for so long? I mean, is it just that? I mean, would it be a case of chauvinism or something like that, or would it be that there just weren't that many women out there that were willing to, I guess, maybe just try and break into something that was so predominantly male for a while?
I think it just depends on each individual's own experience. I mean, I know growing up that when I started getting into comics, and I'd say, for example, I don't know, it could be somebody could have a similar reaction to what happened. I mean, a similar experience to what happened to me, but I don't know. I'm only speaking from my own experience. I know, I think personally, maybe some women, you know, I'm not so much now, that women are probably deterred from getting into the comics industry just mm-hmm. because, I guess, of the content that's being drawn. I mean, I never really had a problem with it, you know, drawing. I drew men and I drew women. I mean, obviously I draw women, but it seems like every time that you drew a woman, you would get, like, the stereotypical, I guess, comments from other people, you know, especially males. And it was never very, like, it would be positive, but it wouldn't be positive in such a way that, you know, that would make the female artist, I guess, feel so good about it. And I guess maybe in turn it would, make them turn away. Or, I mean, that could be one of the things. Another thing could be that girls, as they get older, they look at it like it's a kid thing and they just kind of, like, turn away from it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a large part of it, too. It's, you know, they think they get to a certain age, they're like, oh, you know, I can't be in comics anymore because it's a kid's thing. I mean, I remember I was had that way of thinking for a little while until, you know, I realized, I'm like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just why, just do what you want. Why, you know, try to follow what people think. I don't know, I guess it's a little hard to explain. Why try and, do what you think is best.
That's a nice capper right there, the way that you ended it right there. Do what you want to do, not what other people want you to do. And I think that a lot of people get skewed by, I guess, like what their family or what their friends think they should be doing, as opposed to something that they know they're going to be happy with. And mm-hmm. I mean, it might be a little trying, it might be a little difficult to break yourself into a established industry. But whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're purple, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. As long as you're talented and you're willing to go that extra mile to break into something, hell, go for it.
I agree. I don't think it really matters what you are when you're in the comic industry. As long as you got the chops and the skills and the determination, I think you can get into it. I guess deciding to, it's just more or less, I think, the people that are on the outside viewing you, not so much people in the comic industry, I guess, as you shape your own person, I guess, as you go through life, I guess, determining what you want to do. That might have not made a little sense. I'm tired. I'm sorry.
it's perfectly fine. That's what editing's for.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're probably going to have to edit the hell of everything I say because I am horrible at interviews, so I have you know.
Hey, Erica, I mean, I've heard your previous interviews, and minus the Spano-Mano, that interview was pretty damn good on Geese Unite, so don't worry about it. But it's actually my mission to rag on Spano at least once per episode. So, hi, Spano, how you doing? Hopefully you're listening to this and, you know, out there somewhere.
I can't rag on Spano too much because he bought me pencils with my name on them.
Aw, that's actually pretty cool.
Because I never had pencils with my name on them when I was a kid. Erica was a very rare name back then.
Oh, God, that reminds me, and this has happened to me way too often. Like, I walk into, like, a Disney, gift shop or something like that, or even, like, anywhere, like, where they have, like, any of those nameplates with your name on them. And you know, you would think that Ian's a really popular name, but I'd say maybe, like, 2 times out of 10, I actually walked in there and found an Ian on there. They would have Ivan, they'd have, like, you know, like, Izzy, they'd have every other I name you could think of. And yet
did they have
there.
Yan?
Yeah, they did, actually. They did have Yan. They had Yan. I'm not even kidding. They actually had a Yan one time. And they even had Ina, I-N-A, which is, like, the female equivalent of Ian. And only twice did they actually have Ian. Still pees me to this day.
I think you need to contact the people in charge. I think you need to. Sounds like you got a problem. You know, I think it should be resolved.
Well, just like when Bart Simpson went to what was it, Itchy and Scratchy Land, and everybody had there was a Bort, but there wasn't a Bart. And then over the loudspeaker system, attention, we are out of Bort license plates. Please, we need more Bort license plates. all right, and back on topic, Brent, you got a question to ask?
I got a question. You were talking about, you know, women entering comics and, you know, sometimes how women are portrayed in comics. Like, as a female, do you try to portray your women differently in your art? And as a follow-up to that, who are some of your favorite artists that you think portray women the best?
How do I try to draw women differently as a woman?
Like, do you take a more realistic stance? Do you mind the extra proportions that some comic artists seem to have? Like, what is your take on all that?
I guess it all depends on how it's interpreted. I mean, I'm really into pinup and cheesecake, so I guess a lot of the factors that go into the typical, the stereotypical super hero female physique some women find offensive, it doesn't really bother me. I think if it's done in such a way, you know, as long as it's tongue-in-cheek humor or cheesecake. I think it's all part of the art. It's entertainment. If it comes across in a way where it starts becoming, like, pornographic, then, yeah, you know, I'm not really crazy about that. But as for drawing it, you know, I draw pin-up art. I draw women that are very shapely, very voluptuous women that, yeah, you can look at it and say it's unrealistic, but to me it's just fantasy and it's just fun. So I guess I don't really think about it too seriously when I draw it, because I know it's technically speaking, it's not real. It's just fun. It's
right.
Just entertainment.
Well,
so,
just as a follow-up to that before Brent asks his second here, I mean, well, do you yourself draw a line if, like, say, for instance, like, there have been some people, and I'm not going to name names. Okay, I will name names. Like Michael Turner's Supergirl, where he at times will make a 16-year-old girl look like she either just got out of the whorehouse or the Playboy Mansion. And, you know, you would think that a 16-year-old girl would be drawn differently than, say, like a 23, 24-year-old girl in a comic book. But sometimes that's not even the case.
Yeah, that bothers me a little bit. I mean, at times I keep forgetting that Supergirl is supposed to be 16 years old until people mention it. Just besides Michael Turner, a lot of people do draw, like, teenage girls and young girls. They look like, you know, like women in their 20s or 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be a misinterpretation because, you know, that's not, I think it should be, I mean, it's still fantasy, but it should be a little bit, you know, I guess more realistic. And so that way you can appeal and relate to a younger audience. But,
well, I mean, with that, it's kind of like in the movies and TV, you know, you rarely ever do you get a 16-year-old actress playing a 16-year-old in the movies. Like, you know, the kids on Smallville, I think, are like 20 or 21 as characters in the TV show, but they're played by like 27, 29-year-olds. And any high school show is like played by 21-year-olds. So you rarely ever get anybody portraying their real age unless they're, you know, 30 or 40 or up.
Yeah, unless they're super talented. I think a lot of it has to do with the age factor, just like, you know, I guess the, you know, the skills that they have at that time. Like, even, what's that one girl that, and I guess, you know, the how they are perceived or how they portray themselves. Like that one girl in Juno, what's her name? You know who I'm talking about? That young girl
yeah.
She also played Kitty Pryde.
Ellen Page.
Yeah, like her, for example. I keep thinking she's young.
Karen Page is the Daredevil girlfriend that got
Ellen
killed.
Page.
Ellen Page is the
Ellen
actress.
Page.
Yeah. That's a good distinction to have.
Okay, she's like the one 16-year-old girl playing a 16-year-old girl, though. She's like the only one out there.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, well, she's in her 20s, I think. I think she's like in her early 20s.
She just turned 21.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she just turned 21.
See,
yeah.
There goes my whole point. She just looks 16.
Well,
none of those other ones look
she's
16.
She's a hell of a lot closer to 16, though, than other people that have played 16. You know, like, I mean, there are 26, 27-year-olds to play 16. Oh, my God. Jesus. Well, my favorite thing, I'm watching season 2 of Angel, a Buffy right now. And David Boreanaz, when he started Buffy in season 1, he was 27 years old playing a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old or whatever age Angel is supposed to be, which is why...
It's like infinitely 17?
Yeah. Yeah, he's supposed to be infinitely 17. And when you look at those later seasons of Buffy and even, like, the couple of seasons of Angel, he sure as hell doesn't look 17 anymore. You know? It's like age catches up to him. When he's 33 years old or something like that, trying to play a 17-year-old, that's definitely drawing the line, but I guess that's special circumstances.
Yeah, I don't know how it really sort of counts for the TV industry. That's like a whole nother ball of wax, I guess.
Oh,
I guess
yes.
That could be a very long conversation.
Separate conversation for a separate day, yeah. But I mean, just because, you know, 27, 26-year-olds or whatever play 16-year-olds on TV, though, doesn't mean that 27, 26-year-olds should play 16-year-olds in comics.
Well, I mean, it's the whole perception of, you know, teenagers in the media are not true to, you know, like, in reality. So why would comics be? You know,
I don't know about that. I think times have changed, though. I mean, not saying that it's right, but there's a lot of girls out there that I know that they look like they're in their early 20s, and they are 13 and 14. I think girls are developing at a lot faster pace just because of their environment and things around them and just... It's just, they just look a lot older, I guess, because, you know, what's available to them. but doesn't make it right either. But at the same time, you know, like when you were saying that Michael Turner draws a Supergirl, you know, to me, she doesn't look 16. She looks like a woman that's like a personal trainer and has been working out like most of her life. And, you know, it's just that I can understand. But then again, she is Supergirl, you know what I mean? So I guess there's certain circumstances, I guess, you know, like she is going to be, you know, she is going to be very fit. She is going to be very muscular and, you know, more than the normal teen. I mean, and there is comics, too, that do show teenagers as teenagers. Like, look at Runaways, the artist that does Runaways. They look like teenagers in that comic.
Right, right.
So I guess it just all depends. And, you know, yeah. I don't know. What? I guess I really just don't, have a strong opinion, like, you know, oh, no, they can't do this, or yes, they can do this. I'm kind of, like, neutral in between. I guess it just all depends on the circumstance. But.
Makes sense to me, yeah. Well, another good example, you mentioned Runaways, Kitty Pryde over the years also has been drawn pretty close to her age range by most artists that have drawn her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember when I used to read her in Excalibur, she looked like a teenager.
Yeah, and that's crazy enough as it is, because Kitty Pryde's been, like, so many different ages over the years, considering it's like they age her to, like, 23, 24 years old, then, like, oh, no, never mind, she's 18. Oh, silly.
Yeah, how old is she supposed to be in X-Men comics?
I think she's supposed to be, like, 19 now or something like that.
And Colossus is,
remember,
like,
she's always,
26?
Like, just a young girl, yeah. A young woman. That's all I remember.
No, Colossus isn't 26. He's got to be, like, 23, 24 or something. It's still a bit...
Oh, come on. They don't draw him that young.
Yeah, well, he's a...
Like, 30.
His name is Colossus. He's going to look a lot, like, older than he actually is when his name is Colossus. And he turns into the middle.
I picture Cyclops is like 30.
I think Colossus is a lot older.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Then never mind. Damn it.
Yeah, because I remember this one storyline I read that when she saw Colossus and she had a crush on him, that he was a lot older than her. Mm-hmm. So, and I think he always had the attitude like he was like, you know, the bigger brother kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like that kind of relationship.
Right, right. Or at least he tried to, because, you know, he didn't want to end up in jail.
There you go.
Oh, boy. All right, moving on. Did you ask your second question, Brent? I sort of lost it in the conversation here.
No. Okay. Who's the artist you think that draws females in the best way? Whether you like them to be realistic or not realistic or whatever. If you had to write an all-girl comic, other than you, who would you want to have draw it if you wanted them to be portrayed correctly?
I would have to go with Joseph Linsner on that one. Joseph Linsner, Terry Dodson. I just prefer people that draw, I guess, girls that are just very curvaceous and voluptuous. Just girls with that have a body on them. You know, I don't really care for artists that, I mean, it's fine, everybody has their own style, but I'm not really one to favor an artist that draws girls that, you know, that has two big watermelons on a lollipop stick. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
Especially when they draw Power Girl, like, with a really, really skinny waist with those ginormous breasts. It's like, wow.
I don't like that.
How does she stay upright?
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous. Like, I don't know. Like, some people, like how Adam Hughes draws Power Girl, is mm-hmm. cool. But the way some other artists that draw Power Girl isn't cool.
Yeah.
Like, it all depends. Like, if it's all balanced out, then I have no problem with it. But when it becomes, like, I don't know, like, grotesque, you know, to each their own.
Right.
So.
I've always kind of liked the way that Michael Gatos draws women, especially after the job he did on Alias, where he made Jessica look like a real person, as opposed to, mm-hmm. say, like, the traditional, oh, look at me, I'm a superhero, that means that I need to have, you know, like, the strong waist and, like, the perfect smile and all that. While, meanwhile, you know, she basically just looked like a person you could just walk down the street and see, even when she was in costume. And now he's going to be doing Manhunter, which should be kind of interesting.
When's that supposed to be coming out?
That's not too far now. I think either May or June or something like that.
Oh, I think it's June is in the most recent solicits.
Okay, cool. Yeah, then that's coming back now. He's going to be doing Manhunter for the first time, and that should be kind of interesting. So So yeah, so like you said, you go for somebody that's more like correct proportions with women as opposed to say the top heavy.
I think so. Well, even the stuff I like is not even considered like a correct proportion. I'm not really into the super realistic kind of look. I kind of like the cartoony, like fun yet voluptuous. You know, it still could be taken as, I guess, more simple graphically type of drawings, if that makes any sense. But something, it's hard to explain. I guess I'm more into like the just a woman that looks like a woman.
Right.
That's the way I can describe it. I mean, a woman that is a woman. I like it when artists draw women, and they know how women move and how they, I guess, like in how they move in their body and how they look in their face. It all depends, you know. Like, that's why I like Joseph Michael Linsner, because when he draws women, he knows, he doesn't just draw them just, you know, just standing there, like in some sort of, you know, a typical pose. He knows how to use expression through the hands and then the face and, you know, and gesture and stuff. There's more to it than just drawing just, you know, a body, like, as, you know, a stick body with two boots. Like most artists do.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that, but I will keep them nameless.
There are plenty, though. There are plenty. I mean, you know, you might shy away from saying most, but there certainly are a bunch of artists that I've been turned off of because the first time that I see them draw a woman, I'm like, whoa, how many women have you actually seen in person?
Yeah, it gets a little weird, but I think the other thing that bothers me, too, it's, like, I know it's very important for an artist to, like, develop a style, and usually, I keep hearing this every once in a while in the comic business. They say that once you have a style, you're supposed to stick with it, which is necessarily true. Well, I guess it's okay, but they say that especially when you draw a woman, you're supposed to stay, I guess, with a, like, you know, for example, like Frank Cho, when he draws a woman, mm-hmm. it's basically he'll draw Sheena, he'll draw Brandy, he'll draw Wonder Woman, and they'll all be wearing different clothing, but they'll all have the same face. But
right.
you'll be able to sit there and say, that's a Frank Cho drawing. Mm-hmm. They say supposedly that's the right thing you do, I guess, in the comic industry. I guess so that way that's how you make a brand for yourself. And I don't really agree with that. I like it when artists actually make a variety of different women and men, you know, like, you know, fat, skinny, tall, short, different features on the face, you know, like, more to me, that's like more realistic, like what's around you. You know, I think that makes the story more believable and more approachable, as opposed to having everybody like walking around, you know, looking the same.
Yeah, I see what you mean, though, because I know that there were a lot of people that you know, took a little bit of a, I wouldn't exactly say an offense, but just like were a little bit jarred by the first piece of art that Mark Bagley turned in for Trinity. Where mm-hmm. I believe the exact words were, and I quote, "Wow, it's Peter Parker and Mary Jane cosplaying as Superman and Wonder Woman."
No, it's not.
There were people who said that, though, with the faces, and I could sort of see what they were saying, but you know, I didn't believe that myself. But there are people.
They
that
could look at the Mighty Avengers and say like the same thing. Mark Bagley has a specific style to his faces.
Right.
I mean, you can argue that his faces, male or female, are different than anybody else's on. You know, and than any other artist. That's his style.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what to me delineates Mark Bagley from anybody else is his faces. So any face he's gonna draw is gonna look like any other's faces. Just like if you see Jim Lee's Clark Kent next to his Bruce Wayne, they're gonna look pretty similar except for hair. You know what I mean?
Oh sure, yeah.
Because Jim Lee, all his guys have the same jawline and all that other stuff, except if it's like Plastic Man or whatever. So, and especially if you've been reading Mark Bagley for 110 issues. Drawing Mary Jane and Peter Parker, mm-hmm. and then he's your favorite artist or whatever, and then he goes and does DC, you're going to see like some elements of his work in that work. But just to say that, oh, it's just Mary Jane and Peter Parker, no, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's just them just wanting to knock him because he left Marvel for DC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that also. And I mean, it is along the lines of what Erica was saying, that, you know, people have their styles. And you're going to find similarities in some figures because of that style, but as long as they make them look different enough, then that's fine for me.
Yeah, I don't really think – I don't hope I didn't make it seem that way, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I just tend – I mean, I collect a lot of comics out there where it's that's very evident in it. But I do find it a nice change every once in a while when I find something that if the artist does do something to mix it up a little or make different, you know, make it so you don't sit there and say, hey, you know, I know who that is right away. You know, surprise a little bit. But then again, I can understand why they don't do that either, because the, you know, the public is very fickle. They get upset if an artist starts, you know, change things up or experiment with a different style. I don't think the comic, you know, people that are into comics are very open when it comes to that, unless I think people that, you know, that appreciate art or into art or an artist themselves are more open to that.
Well, think of people's reactions when Frank Miller changed his style. You know, like,
yeah, there was a lot of backlash on that.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, I mean, if you're going to be drawing comics as long as Frank Miller has, obviously your style is going to change over the years.
Oh, of course. I mean, if your style doesn't change over the years, I'm sorry, there's something seriously wrong. I mean, if you keep the same style for, you know, when you do comics, that's fine. But if you as a person, if your style doesn't change in different things you do, it's just got to get old. It's got to get stale. I don't know. That's how I would feel personally myself. You know, like, I wouldn't feel like I evolved.
Right. I mean, when I look back in the 90s and I see those flannel shirts I was wearing, I'm like, dude, what were you doing? All right, moving on from there. Actually, this question sort of tied into what we were talking about already, so I might as well go into the one of the questions that was being asked by a listener here. Irish Lep 77 asked a question, one of which was already answered, so I'll go to his second question here. If you wanted to draw something cheesecakey, do you feel that you would be turned down or held to a different standard than if, say, a man was drawing the same thing?
I don't know. I mean, everything, things that I have drawn and things that I'm doing now have tend to be some things are just normal. I guess if I'm given direction by a person, you know, I'll usually follow what they say. But if it's up to me and I do what I want to do, and if I want to do it more cheesecake, I don't generally had a problem with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think because I just do it in a way that's still tasteful, but, you know, not too, I guess, obvious, you know, not like too overtly sexy, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I never really had that problem as of yet.
Not too vivacious.
Hopefully, I won't have that problem.
Not too buxom. Sorry, I'm trying to throw out as many words as possible here that are above my usual vocabulary.
That's very impressive.
I definitely agree with what you're saying, that, I mean, an artist is an artist. They really shouldn't be held to a different standard than anybody else, really.
No, they should just be able to do what they want to do. I mean, personally, if the person is commissioning that person or getting that person to do something for them, they should already know what their style is, so they shouldn't have any problems with it. If somebody's going to commission, say, me, for example, to do something, they should, like, at least be expect that I'm going to probably, you know, do something slightly cheesecakey or pin-up-y, or, you know, it all depends on what the content is. It all depends on what the theme is, you know. I can't sit there and say that's how every piece is going to be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I guess it all depends on what the project is.
Right. Now, a lot of people have said over the years, and actually I believe these comments were also made by Gail Simone at one point. I don't know if she still believes this way, but I do remember her saying that Marvel Comics in certain aspects is like a sausage fest. You walk in there, and if you're a woman, right away you stand out from the crowd, and not in a good way. Where I believe, you know, again, her opinions might have changed over the years, but I remember her saying that she wasn't exactly happy with the way that she was treated when she was working for Marvel, especially on, you know, when she was doing the Deadpool stuff and so on and so forth. With the way that, that the scene is going now, do you feel that over time this will change, that the Sausage Fest will lessen a little bit? Because, I mean, obviously, I'm sure that you would love to be able to work for one of the bigger companies at some point. And I'm certainly sure that you would not want to be stopped from doing so just because you are not part of the Sausage.
I hope I'm not part of the Sausage.
I hope so, too. But, you know, away from my wording there, I mean, do you feel that the industry is getting away from that?
I think so. I mean, I haven't really experienced it too much firsthand, But I'd like to think that, you know, they're not treating, you know, women any differently or badly because they're a woman in comics. I think that has changed. I mean, when you go to a comic convention, you see Amanda Connor there, you see Gail Simone. I mean, you do see female people prominent in the industry. So I can't really say that's evident as of now. I think they actually welcome it because, if anything, it'll help, you know, I hate to say it, it'll help, it might generate some interest from other female fans or even male fans. Some guys, you know, some people look for that, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, look for female artists or female writers, you know, specifically. So I don't think, I'd like to think that it wouldn't, it would be different, so.
Right. And, I mean, over the years, obviously, the way that the workplace is has changed a lot also. I mean, a lot of the things that places could get away with years ago, they can't get away with now. And I would assume that the same is the case for the comic industry, that it's a slow change, but it's a change that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, hopefully things will continue. I'm going to read off some silly questions here just to get them out of the way, mostly because Raph, I believe, might have actually been high when he was posting this. But all right. Number one question from Wraithmaker. I'm just going to list off all three of his questions here. Number one, how's my sketch coming along? Number two, when are we hanging out? 2A, when are you stopping by Midtown next? 3, are colors pretty to you like they are to me?
What was 3 again?
3, are colors pretty to you like they are to me?
Whoa, I think he has been smoking something.
Whoa, dude, that's so awesome.
Colors pretty to you as they are to me. Oh, wow.
I think this is
the question is, what color, though, does he think is pretty?
Let's just go with pink.
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah.
I think so. I think we'll go with hot pink.
There you go. That'll
or
work.
Or magenta.
Ooh.
Like 80s pink.
Not bad.
I think that'll work well. I think Raph likes that.
Yeah. How's this sketch coming along?
Actually, he knows the status on that. It's coming along. It'll probably be very soon. I've had some little instances here and there pop up, but he's just kind of busted my chops a little bit. So it's cool.
Is this a part of his Superman punching somebody series, or is this something else?
This is a contest I had back in January, I think over the holidays.
Oh, cool.
I had a drawing, and I had send me a holiday card in a mail contest. And basically, I had 3 people win 3 style commission sketches, and then I had and I had the holiday card contest where somebody would win like this huge, I think it's like a 16x20 piece of board illustration. So Raph was one of the winners. So of course I think he gets a little impatient at times. He's like, why my sketch?
Really? Wow. I didn't know that about Raph. You know, staying in Orlando with him for 3 days just didn't prove anything to me whatsoever. You know, my parents are dead. All right, moving on. Oh, man, I still have nightmares. All right, so you know I'm kidding, Raph. Put the machete down. Put it down, man. Put it down. Okay, fine. All right. So we got another question here. This one's back to the serious. We got one from TheFixer3000, Umar, obviously, who was on last episode. The last regular episode, that is, not the MegaCon specials. Do you think it's an unfair assessment saying comics are male-dominated, considering that for years women artists, writers, pencilers, painters, etc., choose not to go into the field?
I think it's unfair to say that it's male-dominated. I mean, I think that's maybe back then it was more male dominated. Well, and again, women have been in the industry for a very long time. I just think it's perceived as male dominated just because, I don't know, I guess because there's more attention to the males, you know, more male artists and creators back then. But I think that's changing over time.
Right. So. No, I would agree with that, and hopefully it will continue to do so. Are there any specific characters that you would point to as, I guess, role models for young girls? Because, I mean, there are characters that can be considered role models for young guys, but don't really know that many that would be considered role models for young girls, except for maybe like Wonder Woman or something like that, and she runs around in a very skimpy outfit on a regular basis. So I'll ask you that. I mean, are there any that stand out on the top of your head of, I guess, woman characters that might be role models for girls?
Batgirl. Batgirl was my role model growing up.
Right.
I was a big fan of Barbara Gordon. Batgirl, well, now she's with the Oracle. But Wonder Woman, of course. Wonder Woman was another one of my favorites. I don't know if she's a role model, but I like Poison Ivy. I think generally most of the women I like are just usually very strong women, you know, just have opinions and basically just don't take any shit. So, you know, and it seems to be, you know, the general the theme, you know, in Marvel and DC comics. There's just a lot of strong women in those comics, and I think there's a lot of titles out there that are a good role model for women. You know, if a lot of the girls or just people in general can just get beyond looking at the exterior, you know, they have to get past the over-rendered bodies and just get into the story and see what it's really about, and you'll see that there's something good there.
Right, right. Actually, I'll ask the same thing to you, Brent. Are there any characters that you see that could be role models for girls out there that are women?
I don't know. I'm not a woman.
Dude. Well, no, I mean, just think about it this way. You don't have to be a woman to answer this question, man. I mean, are there any characters you see as really strong women that you think, like, say, if you had, like, maybe, like, a girl cousin or something like that that you wanted to recommend a comic to, what woman character would you point her to?
I guess I'd give him Why the Last Man, because that's got the most women characters per pound in that book, and they're all pretty well-defined, I thought.
Like 355 and Dr. Man and so on and so forth.
Yeah, they feel like real people rather than superheroes.
Right, right. No, I'd agree with that also. And well, another one that I was going to mention actually. Well, even though she's in a bit of a bind lately in the Captain America comics, I think Sharon Carter has always been pretty damn strong for a woman character. I mean, a lot of the situations that she's been in, she's proven to be pretty powerful and be able to get past that. I guess, not really get bogged down when negatives happen to her. So any of those Captain America comics over the years, you might want to be able to point people to. So at least that's my opinion. Okay, so let's move on from there. Let's go into the CGS thread, at least. And here we go. These ones are by Sean Optimus Black 2007. First question, which you kind of answered already, but I guess you can go to a little more in-depth if you want to. What's more important to you in comics, story or art?
That's hard. I would like to say art, but if the art is good and the story sucks, then I'm going to be unhappy. But it works both ways, you know. Then if the story is good and the art sucks, I'm not going to really care either. So I can't really say one or the other. I think they both go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't pick just one. I'm sorry. It has to be both. They both have to go together.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a full package that needs to be done. Like, I mean, there have been times where, and I guess the perfect example for me here is All-Star Batman and Robin, and it's the first time I brought it up in a while, and I'm actually bringing it up for serious here, not for the My Parents Are Dead or I'm Goddamn Batman or any of that crap, but I stopped picking up All-Star Batman and Robin because even though the art was brilliant, the story just wasn't for me, and that's mm-hmm. really it. I mean, I'm a huge Jim Lee fan, have been for years. Ever since, you know, I read him as a kid back in the 90s, picked up X-Men number one, and I was immediately hooked with Jim Lee's art. But just the story wasn't good enough for me to keep picking it up. You know, if Jim Lee is on another book that I enjoy sometime in the future, I'll definitely pick it up. But sorry, that's it. And, I mean, there have also been books where the art just really hasn't cut it for me, even though the story was good. I'm a little more lenient when it comes to bad art than I am with bad story. Because the story makes the comic a little more to me, I guess. You know, because it's the characters that you're reading, and if the characters aren't good, then it's just pretty pictures.
Yeah, like so pretty you're pictures. Not... Maybe that's why I like art.
what were you saying?
The pretty colors.
Yeah, right, right, right. Especially that magenta.
Yeah, that hot pink.
You know, I know you're gay.
Oh,
you don't want to go there. You don't want to start who's gay.
Uh-oh.
This is leftovers from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know what? The leftovers.
Me and my coworkers were doing this the other day. Oh, my God.
Sorry, Brent. The leftovers have turned. There are flies flying around it. Man, just throw those leftovers out.
So Batman painting himself yellow, painting the whole room yellow, and drinking yellow lemonade, taunting Green Lantern doesn't appeal to you?
Now, see, that does appeal for me, but that's a dollar bin purchase because I know I'm going to be able to find it there eventually. I am going to pick that particular issue up, but I doubt I'm going to pick up anything past that because even bad comics have good issues sometimes.
No, I mean, that issue, I think that issue was the turning point for this series because Robin almost killed Green Lantern and Batman was like, oh, crap, I have to set a better example.
Yeah.
So maybe the next couple issues will finally pick up and we'll be like, this man's a fucking genius.
So is Robin going to start saying, holy Houdini, Batman?
I think so.
Okay, good. Good, because I think the comics have surely been lacking that over the years. Not really. Okay. So here's a nice general question also from Optimus Black 2007. What's your favorite comic ever?
Oh, God. That's like...
You can list multiple ones if you need to, because that's a pretty difficult question to answer.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like asking a guy to name his favorite porn movie.
Oh! Saving Ryan's Privates. No, sorry. Okay, all right, anyway.
Favorite comics? It always changes for me. I can tell you what my favorites are, what I enjoy reading right now. I like reading I'm enjoying The Walking Dead right now. Mm-hmm. I like Liberty Meadows when that does come out. I enjoy it. Usually when I, comics that I read, favorite comics, I usually go for the artist. I'm trying to think what else am I reading?
Are you reading Captain America?
No. Okay. Sorry.
All right.
I'm reading Captain America.
I'm not going to force you to pick anything up, but if you ever get a chance to pick up the trade or something like that, if you see it nice and cheap, start with the first... part of Brubaker's run. If you like good art and you like good story, that's for you.
Okay. I will probably pick up a trade then, because if it's something I won't normally collect, I usually wait till it comes out in a trade and I'll pick it up.
Right. I think the first four arcs are already in trade, so you're good on that.
Yeah, because I've been hearing a lot of good things about Brubaker, so I'm kind of interested in picking it up. But let me see. I'm trying to think. What else am I reading? The Sword by Luna Brothers. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like...
Oh, how is that? How is that, actually? Because I picked up Girls and I really liked it, but I haven't actually picked up Swords yet.
Yeah, it's... I like how it's gone so far. The next issue just came out today, mm-hmm. and I kind of just flipped through it and didn't get a chance to read it, so I'm kind of wondering what direction it's going to head. But, yeah, I'm a fan of the Girls series, too, and... there was another short series that they did that I really, really enjoyed. I just forgot the name of it.
Was that Ultra Girl? Or?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked that.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting how they portrayed a female superhero.
Yeah.
Favorite comics. Well, I've been reading Witchblade since it first came out. That's like, I have a love-hate affair with that comic. I've said it's everybody else. But right now, I love it because they got this amazing new artist on it that does, like, painterly work, so it's pretty cool. And the story is actually pretty neat, too. What else? Oh, did I mention The Key? I really love The Key.
Really?
It's done by some hack artist named Erica Hesse. I've really, you
never,
know,
never
I,
heard of her.
I think I'll give her a chance.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't pick up books from people I haven't heard of, so I'm not going to be picking that up. I apologize.
Yeah, me either. I don't like independent artists, you know.
Yeah. And you can find her over at okay. That's for later on. Well, actually, since you just mentioned the trades thing, I'll go to his third question. Do you prefer trades or monthlies?
I prefer monthlies, but if it's something that I'm not going to go out and buy, I will get it in trade.
Right,
but. Yeah, it's hard. See, I love trades because if it's a series I really, really love and I like it, I will go out and I'll buy the trade or the hardcover in it. But I do buy the monthlies first, so I have to pay monthlies.
Okay, cool. And his last question was nice and personal for you, and no, not in a bad way. What items will you be bringing to the Pittsburgh Comic Con?
Well, let's see. What am I bringing? Oh, that's a good question. Actually, I'm working on some of that stuff. I'm trying to work on some of that stuff right now. I'd like to bring... a new, like, little mini, like, pin-up book, just, like, of girls that I've been working on lately, like, for that I did commissions for other people and personal stuff. I'd like to have The Key number 2 there, but I don't know if that's going to be possible due to some personal conflicts right now. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole another story. But I'll probably have some original art. I'll have, like, a small pin-up book. I'll have... some original art. That's all I can think of for right now. I mean, I know I have like a I guess it all depends on how much I get done. So we'll see. And I'll definitely have the key with me as well. So.
Well, and hopefully there will continue to be a Pittsburgh Comic Con after this year, after that, and, you know.
Yeah, I heard.
Well,
shame.
My first question that immediately came out was, how long until they make the Lifetime movie?
The Lifetime movie?
Lifetime television movie special presentation.
I really hope they don't. It's going to look like a B-movie. I mean, come on, did you see, like, the title they're putting, they had it on a forum, is it the comic book killer? I'm like, come on, that's just so freaking retarded.
See, I went with unconventional, which I think works a lot better than that.
Well, the thing that's thrown me off, and nobody has been able to answer yet, is like, what happened? What form of evidence popped up that made them bring him back in after all these years?
Well, I'm not sure if we'll ever really know. I mean, that's sometimes stuff that they keep under wraps, you know, so they don't want people to really find out. But who knows? I mean, sometimes that kind of stuff does break.
I don't know. Well, I just feel really bad because they're just really nice people. But things happen.
Glad that it's co-owned and co-founded because that means that it probably will continue past this year.
Yeah, I think it'll probably continue because I think they have to. I guess they probably had to buy so many years in advance, so...
Right.
He's got to pay for his lawyer fees.
Yeah, just like OJ.
But the Pittsburgh show is a really great show. It is one that I look forward to, so hopefully, you know, they'll keep having it, and, you know, so I can keep going there and keep buying lots of stuff that I'm not supposed to buy, and, you know, I'm supposed to stay at my table.
Conventions are for. That's what conventions are for. I mean, come on. I came home with so much stuff that I didn't go there wanting to get at MegaCon, and I'm sure the exact same thing's going to happen this upcoming weekend at Anime Boston. I'm just going to find something. I'm going to be like, ooh, well, I wasn't looking for that, but I'm sure it's all
good
now.
Because you're not behind a table. I'm behind a table. I'm not supposed to be spending money.
And at New York Comic Con, when I'm behind a table, when I'm behind a table at Podcast Arena, I know it's still not the same because it's a different situation, but when I'm supposed to be behind a table greeting and meeting fans, I guarantee you I'll be off, you know, buying shit at the time also.
So like the two people that come up?
Oh,
you're sitting there waiting for them all weekend.
Brent. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, man. Great guy with a lot of confidence in me. I'm really glad.
Well, I mean, it's Raph and Brandon, right? That's the only two.
Oh, great. Comic timing. Exactly two listeners. All right.
That's Geeks Unite.
Oh.
We got to get Raph in there. I gotta burn Raph every episode.
All right. One of my favorite posters on our forums is Equinox, and he has some questions here, so let me go to his. Do you find that you are treated differently than male comic book pros by convention organizers? And do you hang out more with female or male comic book pros at conventions?
Am I treated differently? By convention, the people that hold the conventions? I don't think so. I think they treat me just as equal, but I do think I'm treated a little bit differently by people that attend the shows, but that's a whole, I guess, different question than when the one that's been initially asked.
Right.
But no, as you know, the people that that hold the shows and the people around me, I don't think they treat me any differently. I think they treat me fairly. I haven't had any problems with them. Then you know, none of them I'm aware of anyway. Knock on wood. But. And what was the other question? I'm sorry.
The other question was, do you hang out more with female or male comic book pros at conventions?
I would say males. I would definitely say males. There are some females I do hang out with, but I would have to say males, considering that, you know, like I say, there's more males at a comic convention than, you know, female creators.
Right.
So I guess that would make sense.
Now, actually going a little bit into the question that was – well, the answer that was not exactly part of the question. Now, the being treated differently by, I guess, male convention goers, do you think that stems from the same sort of thing where oftentimes if a female walks into a comic book shop, people's jaws drop like, whoa, wait a minute. You're female. What are you doing here? Oh, my God. There's a woman here. Oh, crap. How's my breath?
I think that's true, but I think I guess it all depends on the person. I mean, there's, you know, like I've had people that, you know, just treat me like anybody else. They just look at me like I'm an artist and they appreciate what I do, and and it's cool. And then you have people that, you know, that I guess don't see the light of day. And when they see, I guess, a woman at a comic convention, I guess their dreams have come true. I don't know, but No, I don't.
Hey,
I'm just kidding, people. But
yeah, we know. Don't worry about it. But even the convention scene has changed a lot, though. I mean, there are.
I think it's different now as opposed to like when I first started going, just as an attendee from 5 years ago to now. I think there's a lot more women at conventions, so I don't think there's like this huge like, you know, distraction or, you know, attention to women like there used to be.
Right. Call me crazy, but I think, and, you know, you could agree or disagree with this, I actually think that anime conventions have helped comic conventions in that aspect. Because a lot more women go to anime conventions, mostly because there are plenty of women that are into anime and manga. And I think one sort of does lead to the other in some aspects. So some women will go to a comic convention to find either, you know, anime stuff or even comic books they might be interested in a lot more than they ever used to before.
I think part of it could be, I think anime could be partly responsible for it. I think it could, but I think a large part of it is also responsible for it, too, is that comics have become more mainstream. They become very multimedia. I mean, look at all the movies that have been generating interest and that have been coming out. I mean, I think that's helped, you know, generate a lot of, I know for a fact that has helped generate a lot more female interest in the comic industry. So I think, I definitely noticed in the past year, since more movies have been coming out, that there's definitely more women that attend these shows. And I'm hoping that not all of them are just being dragged by their boyfriend.
Yeah, Brent.
Hey.
I like to think
she had a fun time.
I know she had a fun time. I'm just busting your chops, man.
She wanted to go.
Yeah.
Just because of Heroes guy, but she wanted to go.
Yeah, she wanted to go because she wanted to meet me.
Chirp.
Silence. Chirp. Silence. Those silence.
I know. I'm like,
I'm so full of myself. It's ridiculous.
But did you bring a female to the comic convention or a girlfriend?
Yeah,
my
girlfriend came along. She says hi, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Ian.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, she's not here.
Does she like it?
I need to tell you.
Oh, okay. She's
tell her to hello back.
She's a very nice person. I will say that. An Asian power, even though I'm not Asian. Okay. Let's go on to Equinox's next question and another serious one here. Do you think that the current decentralized model for comic book pros, writers, artists, etc., located around the country instead of a central bullpen, has helped female comic book pros become more successful?
I think a large part of it, now it's not so centralized, what has helped it is actually the internet. Mm-hmm. I think that's helped the female comic creators a lot. Actually, it's helped a lot of people a lot, but I guess you mean by instead of having like central locations of people where they used to do comics, now it's all over the United States.
Right.
It's helped women then?
Yeah, that's kind of what he's going for.
I guess. I mean, I think it's more easily accessible now that it's not like, I guess, you know, you have to go to California to be a comic book artist. And plus, like I said, I think, you know, the internet especially has helped that out a lot. You know, I think, I know that's definitely helped out a lot. Like, if there was no internet, I probably would never, you know, a lot of people probably would never get anywhere, like, where they're at right now. So, I mean, and I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I don't know what my thoughts are on that exactly, but well, I could say, yeah, I think that could be part of it.
Well, if not for the internet, you wouldn't be talking to us right now. So that's definitely a sign of you know how the internet has helped people, that a lot of artists that probably would have never even been found were found because of the internet, putting their stuff online or going to forums or meeting people that they wouldn't have met otherwise. You know, I mean, like there are people in England, there are people in, you know, Thailand that find people that live in, like, say, Michigan that would have never found them otherwise.
That's Wait, true. What? I agree with that.
All right. On to the less serious question. Are you more or less intimidating than Mike Norton?
I guess it depends how you look at it. If you look at Mike Norton's if you look at height, Mike Norton is the more intimidating one. If If you look at the fight from last year between me and June Bob, I'm the more intimidating.
There you go. There you go. Proper question, proper answer. And to go with that line of questioning, do you wear rubber gloves when working on Raph's sketches so you don't get cooties?
No, I don't wear rubber gloves. I wash my hands before I start drawing, but I don't wear rubber gloves.
Okay. That works for me.
All right.
Blue Meanie says, where's that pic of me looking down your top?
Deleted.
And he
deleted.
He said, I risked.
He knows the answer to that question.
I risked the kicking from Erica and the wife to get that.
Yeah, deleted. Sorry, Blue. Gone. Vamoosh. Vanished.
You'll just have to take another one, right?
Oh, no.
All right, real question. And I'm not sure if this is going to be funny either, though. If you were offered a gig drawing a bad girl book that was along the lines of old Chaos Comics stuff, which was more pornographic than cheesecake, would you have an issue with the direction required?
If it was something more pornographic, I probably wouldn't even do it.
All right, so I guess you can't ask for anything that kind of sketch for me.
If it's targeting, like, if it's pornographic, I kind of steer away from things that are of that nature. If it's, like, a tasteful nudity, I don't mind, but, oh, yeah, I better not say nudity, any kind of nudity, because if Blue's concerned, he'll probably get excited, so.
Oh, God.
So, it's all a no for him. For him, no, I won't do anything.
No nudity whatsoever. In fact, she draws more clothes on the women.
I draw more clothes. In fact, I started drawing men in women's clothing.
Yeah.
You should email him a sketch of Harley Quinn, but wearing like a parka and snow pants and like a robe and all that.
How about if I draw Harley Quinn with a with a strap on?
Coming out of the snow pants. There you go.
And on the end of the strap on, it'll have a... like that hammer that she uses, it'll be on the end of the strap-on.
I like the way this is going. Have you ever gotten any really...
He's going to send me a bad chicken drawing.
Yes, definitely. But... have you ever gotten any really weird sketch requests over the years?
Yeah, I have.
What is the weirdest sketch request you've ever had? If you're willing to share it.
Somebody asked... what's that?
I said, if you're willing to share it, that is.
Somebody asked me if I would draw Snow White tied up.
Ooh. Well, that's not disturbing at all.
Well, he said, I know I've told this story before, but basically the shortened version of it, I was going to say virgin, version of it. Yeah, virgin. Version of the story.
Well, the
is,
shortened version of it is, yeah, okay.
It was my first comic convention, and this guy, this swear to God, he could barely, I think he was like 80 years old. I have no idea. He was just an older guy. Like, he looked like he'd be my grandfather. And he comes up to me, and I have really bad hearing in my one ear. It was really loud, a lot of background noise. And he's like, looks through my stuff, and... he sits there and he asked me a question. He asked me if I drew pondage. And I was like, what? And I said, pondage? I said, what did you say? And I couldn't hear him. And I ended up saying it like really loud. I said, did you say pondage? And he ended up getting really embarrassed. And he said, Snow White. And I'm like, what? And then he just ended up like taking off. And the guy next to me, and he goes to me, he goes, oh, he was asking for Snow White in bondage. And I'm like, oh, that's creepy. Like, maybe it's a good thing I didn't understand him.
And then we find out that it's the creator of Wonder Woman who really liked bondage.
I think that's probably the most weirdest. No, actually, another weird request I got, somebody emailed me and asked me, like 10 different questions, like what I would and wouldn't draw in a commission. And I started thinking, I'm like, is this person going to like get off on the questions I'm like answering him? Cause he was like saying like, oh, would you put furniture in the drawing? And I don't know. It was really bizarre. Then he started saying, would you put in the very last bottom, it seemed like he was warming up to the final question. Like, he started out, like, real little, like, oh, would you put high heels on the woman? Oh, would you put, like, a chair with, like, rope in it? And then at the bottom, it would be like, oh, do you do sexual acts in your drawings? I'm like, no! I'm like, yeah, I can't see where this is going. I have no clue at all. When you said rope and chair, I had no idea.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then of course his next question would have been like, can you draw a word balloon that says, aren't you a naughty one?
I don't think I ever heard from that person. I was like, I do tasteful nudity, that's it.
Right. Well, I'm glad that's to hear it. All right, we got another one here from Carol J62. I'll go with, are you skeptical of the support you get to your face on the boards and on interviews? Do you think people praise you to your face and then criticize you or run you down behind your back?
All the time. I go home crying every night. I cry on my pillow. In fact, I'm crying on my pillow right now.
Damn it.
Well, don't listen to Comic Timing Episode 70, I'll tell you that.
Oh!
No, I don't think so. I mean, people are going to talk regardless, but, you know, I can't really worry about that. People are always going to say something about somebody, but I'd like to think that, you know, if people say they like my work or are interested in what I do are being genuine, and if they're not, then, you know, that's on them. I can't really, you know, I'm just going to keep on doing what I got to do. You know, I can't really worry about everybody and what they think.
Right.
Because if I did, then I would turn into Raph. I'm just kidding.
and that's how you know that you're going to get praise from me, all right? Because you pull out stuff like that, and I'm just like, yeah, she's one of us.
Oh, I love you, Raph.
Yeah. We got our room for CGSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSS We're finding out whether or not we're going to be there on Thursday or Friday at this point. But if we are going to be there on Thursday, then we're sure as hell going for Shady Maple Breakfast on Friday.
Sweet.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, and you should definitely join us for that because that is the best smorgasbord ever.
Okay, sounds good. I'm up for it.
Damn
smorgasbord
straight.
Smorgasbord it is.
And I love the word smorgasbord, but... It's kind of the same way. Well, going with what he said there, it's like I kind of agree with what you said, though, because if you worried about what people were saying about you all the time, I mean, even as like a podcaster, I'm like, you know what? If I have fans, that's great because that's great and all. If there are people that talk about me behind their back, go ahead and do so. Hell, if there are people that want to talk about me behind my back, talk to it the front of me also because I'm willing to hear criticism and stuff. You know, it's not really going to affect me that much, but... You know, it's the nature of the beast. There's going to be people that like your stuff.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that don't like your stuff.
Well, I mean, this is the way I look at it. Life is adult high school. You're always going to have people that are nice to your face or talk about you behind your back or, you know, it's just the way it is. It's just, everywhere you go, it's like, I like to call it adult high school. So you just can't, you just got to treat it that way. You just kind of just let it roll off your shoulders. I mean, yeah, once in a while, you know, it does bother you, this or that. Things can be, bothersome. But, if it's done in a constructive criticism, I don't mind that. But if a person's being blatantly rude and you find out about it, you just got to wonder, maybe the person's just being that way to make themselves feel better about them, make themselves feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So just can't really fall into that. Yeah. Plus, if I did, I'm never getting any work done. I'll be too busy sending hate email. I'll be too busy being like Silent Bob and Jay and Bob Strikes Back. I'll be going to everybody's house and kicking their ass.
And remember, she is a badass, so she can hurt you.
Yeah, I'll come over and I'll beat you with a pair of inflatable gloves.
what were you going to say there, Brent?
I was going to say, there's one thing I would not let roll off my shoulder. 2 weeks after we said we're now the number one comic book roundtable, since Round Comics took the little hiatus, they put out these episodes with these SCAD people just trying to take back our listeners. You know, they can't just let us have the spotlight for one fucking minute.
I know. I know. Yes. Jeez, man. I mean, we had like 1 week of reprieve, and now they're like, oh, look at us. We're Round Comics. We're back. Ugh.
But they're not even back, though. It's like fucking replacements.
Another podcast you're talking about?
We're jokingly joshing at the fact that around comics, Sal and Chris have been on hiatus for a while. So we said for 1 week, well, since they were the number one roundtable discussion podcast, I guess now we're the number one roundtable discussion podcast by default.
Uh-huh.
And of course, then they went out and they put out some fill-in episodes with the SCAD people, and it was like, damn it, we had a week of being default, man.
That's more than what most people get.
Yes, exactly. That's why I take that week and I say thank you very much. And Sal and Chris, you guys continue to do whatever you want to do. It's going to be good, so enjoy it. Or SCAD people, or anybody.
Still.
Yeah, they're there, Brent. You'll get over it someday. All right, you want
to
read?
Are you guys going to Pittsburgh? I have to ask you a question. Are you guys going to Pittsburgh?
Not this year, I'm afraid, because I've spent way too much money on everything this year, and. The thing is here, it's because I do anime conventions and comic conventions. Because if I didn't do the anime conventions, and trust me, I love doing the anime conventions, so that's like part of it. I would definitely be going to as many comic conventions as I could possibly go to, but I'm going to Anime Boston, I'm going to Anime Next, I'm going to Otakon, I'm going to try and make it out to San Diego Comic-Con this year, I'm hopefully going to be at Baltimore Comic-Con, and I'm definitely going to be at CGSSSSSS, and I've already been to, MegaCon, and I'm going to New York Comic-Con. That's 8 conventions right there. So,
wow, it's more than me this year. I'm only doing 2.
Whoa.
That's it.
Nice.
Down from my, I think usually I do 5 or 6. Well, right. Ones that I set up at, not including the ones I go to. I had to cut back seriously this year, but I think I'll be in New York, so maybe make that 3.
Okay.
Or 4. I don't know. It adds up as it goes on.
Well, if you are at New York, make sure to stop on by the table because we'll be happy to say hello.
I will. Do you know if they're going to have the same setup as last year?
They are indeed. Yeah, it's going to be in a different part of the place. But we'll have full details once we know exactly where we are. It's definitely not the same setup as last year, but there is a podcast arena and everything's all set up.
Oh, I just hit the Artist Alley is a little bit bigger.
Yeah, the Artist Alley is in a different part of the convention this year, I believe, and so is the podcast arena. So I think they might have actually gotten the entire third floor this year, if from what
wow.
I saw. It's correct. So the layout's going to be a little different, but it's going to be even more room.
If you want a big Artist Alley, what I've heard, you should come to MegaCon.
Oh, yeah. MegaCon is wonderful, actually. I would highly – and no, seriously, though, in all seriousness, it is really great, and there's a huge Artist Alley there.
I hear it's a really good show. I just haven't been able to get out there.
We'll get it.
It's like half the convention at Artist Alley.
Yeah. Half the convention is definitely Artist Alley.
Hmm. Wow, it's pretty impressive. Well, I hear Heroes has got a really good Artist Alley, too.
So, Brent, you want to read AIM Satellite?
Yeah. All right. AIM Satellite has this to say. Are you okay with being a badass, or do you have to downplay it just to get through the day?
I think I do have to downplay it a little bit during the day, especially at my job. I think I could come off as a little too harsh sometimes. No, seriously. I don't really think of myself as a badass. I'm just me, I guess. I don't know, I just like to joke around a lot and just bust chops, so, I don't know. Did I answer the question, or I'm kind of like jumping around a bit, ain't I?
I would say that answered it well enough.
He also asks, who are your favorite, most influential non-comics artists?
Oh, wow. There you go. Non-comic artists. That's going to be an interesting one. I would have to say a lot of non-comic artists. Well, besides non-comic artists, I like a lot of pin-up artists. So I would have to say Olivia, George Petty, Alphonse Mucha. I'm trying to think. A lot of them are pin-up artists. Who else? Coop. No, he did a comic cover once. I guess I can't include him in it. Alphonse Mucha, Olivia, George Petty, Gil Elvgren, Boita Man, That's all I can think of the second. If I go in my art room, I'm pretty sure I probably have a ton of books I can look at and tell you.
All right, well, if anything else comes to you on the way, you can certainly share it.
Oh, man. These guys caught me at a time where the animals are taking over.
Oh, no.
They're taking me over. All right, I'm escaping. Let's see.
There you go.
I have to look. All right, let's see. Who else? Oh, Brahm. How can I forget about Brahm? These guys familiar with Brahm?
Somewhat, but let's tell the listeners about Brahm.
He's an amazing fantasy artist. He's probably done a lot of D&D work, but then again, I can't really say he's influential, but because my work is nothing similar or inspired, you know, none of his work is apparent in any of my stuff, but it's definitely very, I guess it is inspirational, so I would, you know, he pretty much kicks ass, but, oh, here's another. No, this person, Hyung Tae Kim, and he does, like, a lot of video game art. Mm-hmm. So there's a little, like a manga art. Well, not really. He's more of a conceptual artist, actually. Who else do I like? Who else do I like? Joe Picar.
There you go.
But, no, he's actually did some comic. Didn't he do some comic work? I don't remember.
Well, the name Picar sounds familiar to me, but that's for Harvey Picar. So I don't know if Joe, I don't know if I know the name Joe Picar.
He's a pretty good like little pinup artist. That's all I can think of. Yep.
Okay. Cool.
There you go.
That's
more. Oh, and Vargas.
Wait, Vargas. You said?
Yeah, Vargas.
Cool.
I don't think I mentioned him. Usually, it's pretty much pinup artists that I'm influenced by. So. I think I answered the question.
Yeah, I'd say so, at least, definitely. All right, Atomic 99 is mostly, in fact, they're all silly questions, and I will ask all of them because, well, we're a silly podcast. Will there be a rematch of Hesse versus Kim at CGSSS?
Not that I'm aware of, and I'm not counting on it, but you never know.
Okay, who's dreamier, Peter, Brian, or Jamie?
I think they're all dreamy.
If I had, like, romance music to play right now, I would, but surprisingly enough, I don't.
Especially, I think Peter's really dreamy when he wears this fishnet that they had in that one thread. I thought that was really dreamy. I thought that was hot. That was really hot. You hear that, Peter? That was hot. Don't be afraid to man up to your sexuality. There you go.
Uh-oh.
All right, what's the next question?
Okay, so you walk into a room at CGSSS.
Wait, I didn't mean it in a bad way. I just meant...
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just realized what I said. I didn't mean...
Okay, all right.
Oh, these guys are cutting me off.
It's okay. There. We get you. You walk into the wrong room at CGSSS and find Vincent, Marty, and Marty in a passionate embrace. Who's the first person you tell?
Probably nobody, because I'll probably puke right there on the spot.
That's pretty much what my reaction would have been, so, all right, that works. Okay. Moving on, Brent.
All right, Racer Hex wants to know, are you as cute in person?
Depends what time of the day. Depends what time of the day it is, I guess.
Good enough.
When it's 12, when it's midnight, I turn into a pump.
You turn into a pumpkin at midnight?
Yeah, I turn into a pumpkin. So that means I'm going to turn into a pumpkin in about 8 minutes. There you go.
Okay.
So, my mom said that over spring break, and I was like, what the hell?
Well, she obviously likes Snow White. Not Snow White, Cinderella. How did I say Snow White? You know what? Because of that. Because of what we said before. Because of what we said before, Snow White's just in my head. Damn it. Okay, Cinderella. There we go.
You better call your hentai dealer.
Fuck you, man. Fuck you. Okay, but yeah. And has anybody actually seen Cinderella 3?
No.
Now, Here's why I like Cinderella 3, because it took her 3 movies to break the space-time continuum.
Okay.
The third movie has time travel. And
that's gay.
Yeah, she breaks the space-time continuum in the third movie. It's awesome.
Did she go talk to herself?
It's like Quantum Leap meets Cinderella.
She talked to herself?
No, she doesn't talk to herself. It involves one of the sisters. The sister goes back in time and changes things.
That's dumb.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. And yet the animation and all that's actually pretty damn pretty. But the story sucks.
What does that have to do with Pokemon?
What? This guy thinks just because I temp for Pokemon that like my entire life has to revolve around it. Just because I just got Smash Brothers and finished a level with Pikachu last night doesn't mean I'm into Pokemon, all right?
Okay.
Smash Brothers is so good.
So is Pikachu.
if you're going to learn...
Start collecting cards, I'll be concerned.
Uh-oh. No. Don't worry about that. I don't collect any Pokemon cards. Never have, never will. All right.
Okay.
Oops.
We got one more question here. This one's from Chris... It's Chris Moran. So, all right. For Erica, what aspect of your art do you think needs the most improvement?
Oh, man. I would say my background work. I would say anything that I do scenery-wise, I could always improve on. I hate drawing buildings, but I know I have to do it. So I could say drawing buildings and stuff like that, background scenery, landscape, all that fun stuff.
Right.
You know, stuff that people have to walk around in.
So all the scenery that goes with the people.
Yeah. Why can't I have like what some of those artists do? They have like they have them the ghost background, you know, scenery artist. Like I think that's how Michael Turner actually started it out. He was the background artist for Mark Silvestri.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Before he started, Witchblade. But apparently a lot of artists do that. But now they actually give him credit, I think. Before, we never really gave him credit.
Except for Pat Lee.
Anything Silvestri does has, background artists on it, I think. Or, like, the last two things he did. I think they have,
does he? They probably do it now more, so. But back then, I don't think they did, you know, years ago. But, see, that's what I need to do. I need to find somebody to do the background art for me and not list them in the credits. Yeah. So they know that I drew everything.
Well,
just call Raph, and but then have like a have him in it like a plastic bubble, so you can't get his cooties. Won't be any good, but you'll have somebody drawing backgrounds for you.
Also, just remember that whenever you see the name Pat Lee, it's actually 5 different people.
Really?
Yeah.
No, 6.
About 6
Patrick,
these days.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Suzuki.
Right.
Lewis. Esther and Esselman.
Oh, wow.
Are you guys shitting me?
No, I'm actually serious, though, that Pat Lee, for the past couple of years, hasn't drawn most of his stuff. That it's actually...
How'd he get away with it?
Because he's Pat Lee.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He just draws the figures and leaves the rest to other people.
Right. That's exactly what happens.
Like, I remember there's something on, like, Transformers comics from Lang in the Gutters or something, and they got a hold of, like, unfinished pages... And Pat Lee just draw up the Transformer in some random pose, and then they have to draw the background behind it to make it look cool.
Man, or he would do like a finish. There's no Easter Bunny.
Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, back up here. There's no Easter Bunny?
That's the next thing you're going to be telling me.
Damn it.
You told me that Pat Lee doesn't draw it in comics.
Okay, well, there is an Easter Bunny, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right. I'm going home this weekend. Good.
All right, and at what point would you consider yourself a success in the comic industry? So, for example, sell X number of issues of The Key, get published by one of the big two, get work on a specific character, or something else?
Being able to do comics full-time. That's when I consider myself to be successful, doing this full-time instead of just putting aside.
Right.
Instead of working a full-time job and doing this. Well, trying to do this, so. But I guess that's, in my mind, I would consider that to be successful. I mean, I don't know. And I guess that's how I gauge my own success, I guess.
Well, that's a lot of that's what a lot of comic creators consider to be like their moment of like their pinnacle. You know, when they can finally say, okay, this is the only thing I do.
Yeah, I would, you know, I think that would be it. Then after that, I would, take over the world, I guess that's when, I would consider myself successful.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
What's that?
Yeah, I think so, Brain, but striped pants make me look chubby.
What?
Sorry, when you said take over the world, I immediately thought of Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. It's my sad geek brain working overtime.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's too late for me to be thinking of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was too late like 3 hours ago.
Right. Well, going with the success thing, obviously, you know, this is tying it back to the original topic that we had. At this point, you don't really foresee any troubles getting to that point being a woman in the comic industry, correct?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think if I have, as long as I just keep chugging ahead and, you know, if I have what it takes, I think I'll be fine. So, we'll see. I guess we'll see. It all depends upon, you know, whatever happens.
Yeah, so that's the way the world works.
Yeah, I don't really like to try to think of, you know, the future too much or anything. I just take it as each day comes. So,
right.
Whatever the cards may fall, you know.
Makes sense to me. All right, before we wrap things up here, Brent, you got any last questions you want to throw out there?
Chris Murray wants to know if you'll marry him. Oh, wait. Sorry about the rules.
What?
No, Chris Moran's last thing here would, will you marry me? Oops, forgot about the rules, sorry.
Oh, but I'm already getting married.
Yes, and congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you, that means, that means we gotta drink a lot and celebrate a lot before I get married, okay?
Hell
yeah.
It's
my last year of bachelorism.
You got any...
Don't you know?
Yes, exactly. You got any real final questions, Brent? Like any that you haven't asked yet, or you ready to wrap things up?
I think I'm ready to go. I'm pretty good.
Okay, cool. Well, before we do actually wrap up the final things here, you want to give your website for everybody out there and give one final, what's upcoming for you? Like conventions appearances one more time?
Sure. You can check out my website at www.hessymiddle-art.com. I'll be at Pittsburgh at the end of April, and actually I'll be at Wild Pig Comics at the end of March for 24-hour comic day. You can come there and see me draw. I had to try and do 24 pages in 24 hours. So plus everything's going to be having a huge sale, so come by and check it out. It's all the information on my website, so if you want to find out more, you can go on there.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Excellent. And you'll be at CGS, SSSSS, obviously.
Oh, yes. I'll be there, too. It's not coming soon enough.
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, before we wrap this up entirely, I get to do something that I haven't done on the show in a very long time.
What's that?
Comic Timing is proudly sponsored by the New York Comic Con. Oh, yes.
Oh, God, no.
Yes, indeed. New York Comic Con 2008 is coming. Head on over to the Jacob Javits Center April 18th to 20th and experience the largest pop culture event to take place on the East Coast. An enormous show floor plays host to top entertainment industry leaders showcasing the latest and greatest in comics, graphic novels, anime, manga, video games, toys, movies, television, and more. One of the most original and inventive writers in the comics medium, Grant Morrison, will be a guest of honor at this year's New York Comic Con, where he will meet and greet his many loyal fans. Grant is writer of such books as We Three, Doom Patrol, Animal Man, Batman, New X-Men, and All-Star Superman, and is working on DC's biggest event for 2008, Final Crisis. New York Comic Con gives attendees access to the top entertainment industry talent, panels, and autograph sessions, as well as sneak peeks at upcoming television shows and motion pictures. Additional featured guests have been announced, including Charlie Adward, Terry Brooks, Duncan Fegredo, Erwin Hazen, Tony Moore, Steve Niles, Sean Phillips, Eric Powell, Rick Remender, Leonard Starr, Dave Shelton, and Chris Weston. And with dedicated professional hours, New York Comic Con provides an ideal business setting for the major players in the world of comics, film, and television. Further information can be found at www.NewYorkComicCon.com. We thank New York Comic Con for sponsoring the show, and we hope to see you this year when you stop on by Podcast Arena.
I also have something to say with that.
Really?
Since I came on the first time you started the New York Comic Con advertising, now that you're starting it up again, I feel like my time is up. And I would just like to say, everyone, thank you so much for such a long run. And I'll see you on the boards.
Okay, if this was seriously your last moment, that would be awesome. But but I know it's not true because you just can't get enough. I mean, do you know how long I'd have to shop for a new co-host, not co-host, co-host?
How long?
At least 3 minutes.
Oh.
No, come on. We you know you love me, man. Come on. I know you love me. So there you go. All right. You got anything upcoming that you want to plug, Brent?
Nope.
No BK's Bullets or anything like that?
No. That's really weird. I don't have anything in the pipeline.
Holy crap, dude. That's messed up. All right. Well, where can you find your previous stuff?
ComicTiming.com. That's not it.
No.
RagingBullets.com.
I think if you go to ComicTiming.com, you get a like one of those like things where like they've held the website name and nobody's done anything with it for the last 2 years. But I'd have to put in like $150 to actually get it, so I don't think it's going to happen. However, I am considering buying a dedicated domain for Comic Timing. So if it does happen anytime soon, I'll make sure to let everybody know.
TimingComics.com.
Oh, God. No, I looked online recently, and ComicTiming.net and ComicTiming.org are open, so I might go for either one of those, but we'll figure that out. And RagingBullets.com, as you said. And you going to post any blog entries anytime soon?
If something comes to me.
Okay, cool. SpeakySpeak.com/ComicTiming for that. All right, so before we wrap it up, I want to thank Erica one more time for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, anytime you want to come back, obviously you're more than welcome to, as you're a very nice lady, and we're glad to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. These guys are great, too. These guys are swell.
Okay, cool. And before we head out, also, I got a quick promo here that I want to play for the Comic Book Outsiders, so let's check that out. So here we go.
Hello there, I'm Scott.
And I'm Steve.
And we're here to talk to you about our podcast, Comic Book Outsiders.
We focus on comics outside the main two companies, and every fortnight we bring the very best in comics, TV, films, from off the beaten track.
Every episode we've got a main feature, which could be a topic for discussion or an interview, and we also talk about some of our guilty pleasures, things that we love but maybe shouldn't.
In Challenge Scott, I pitch 3 comics, and we try to get him interested enough to pick up at least one. The comics can be from any company, from Image to Dark Horse to Devil's Due.
And there's also the Hidden Gem segment, where we highlight a TV show or film that deserves more attention. So to broaden your horizons and find something outside your comfort zone, why not try listening to Comic Book Outsiders? Visit thecomicforums.com and click on Comic Book Outsiders.
Or available from iTunes, or you can visit www.comicbooksiders.libsyn.com.
I love that accent so much. It's a very Sean Connery type thing. My Sean Connery sucks. All right. So we'll wrap it up here after that. ComicBookOutsiders.com. Check them out. The email just for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please dig us on dig.com. Please Podcast Alley and iTunes reviews. That would be graciously appreciated. And we're also members of League of Comic Book Podcasters over at comicbooknoise.com/league. So for Brent, for Erica, I'm Ian Levesque. Reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics. You got any more? You got any more questions for Brent that you've come up with, or anything?
No.
Cool. All right, moving on.
Oh, I do have one.
Okay,
I have one. Given the Navier-Stokes equation, what would you cancel out to turn it into the Euler equation?
What?
Right. Yeah. Never mind.
What the hell? Are you speaking
what
English?
What the hell is that? I don't even know.
This is definitely going in the back because I have no idea what the fuck you just said. I think he might have actually slipped the line.
Neither do I. I'm trying to figure it out myself.
Is this homework?
Yeah, this is Arrow homework.
Ugh, you make me so
happy.
Yeah,
forget if it's homework, forget it. No good.
You make me so happy I went into television and radio. Oh, God.
Yeah, but your homework was like, edit this.
Yeah, edit this on the forums. Exactly, that was my homework. All right.
Poor Brad.
Hi, Brad. What's up? What's going on? How are things? Yeah. Wait. What to what, Brent? That made sense.
No. What? I don't know. I'm asking you.
Damn it. Are you just fucking with me here, or did you seriously not understand what I just said?
I don't know. What do you want to believe?
Oh, you bastard. All right. Moving on. Yeah. Sometimes co-hosts can be annoying. All right. Loading.